Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I'm an SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have a podcast every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talkshoe website at www.talkshoe.com. Search for call ID 17702. Or Starfleet Universe On Call, or SFU On Call, and you should find us there. But if you want the best online experience, what you want to go to is twitch.tv, yes, twitch.tv/SFU On Call, and join us there, and join the chat room, and have a good old time. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com, that's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on the Twitters, /X, whatever. The podcasting account is SFU On Call. My personal account is Paul Franz, PAULFRANZ. There's no T in that. And also, my business account is Franz Games, FRANZGAMES. Again, there's no T in that. And this lovely podcast gets into podcasts and available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from A to B this week. Steve Cole has worked on some more art for the Orion Mass Starship book. Steve Patrick was busy working on Module K, the Orion Mass Starship book. Obviously, has still a little more work to do there. I think he was actually working on some of the art for the Mass Starship book, and also the ISC Mass Starship book. And released this week, the Call to Arms Starfleet Book 1.2, the Federation Ship Roster Card Pack, is now available. It's only $5.95. It's an ebook, often known as the Federation. This empire is the strongest and most economically aggressive. Without a few wars to slow them down, the Federation, due to their booming economy, and the result of freedoms not seen elsewhere, make enough profit to simply buy other empires in a century or two. The Federation has never invaded another empire and only fights defensive wars. Then again, more than one of its neighbors objected to where the Federation placed its borders. We are pleased to announce that another of our revised play aids for the Act SF has been released, and the Federation's Raster Starship Pack revised includes all of the Federation ships in a Call to Arms Starfleet Book 1.2. It also includes the Armed Cutter, the Primary Trader Transport, a Mobile Base, and Battle Station, all of which would specialize for you to use as a Federation player. Also, this week, on Found Online Store, is the FedCom Deluxe Space Battle Maps. This is $84.95. Now, before you squawk at that price, these are not just the panel, the cardboard panels. These cardboard panels are mounted. On the 8-panel mounted map board for use with Starfleet battles, Federation Commander, Honor Harrington, Attack Vector, or other space games, full-color Hubble telescope map images, numbered hexes for recording, game record recording. Some panels have the usual fiery direction and scattered diagrams. You see them in the corners of those maps. Two panels have full-color planets by Ted Gable. Each panel is double-sided, including 16-millimeter 5/8-inch hexes on one side, and then standard SFB scale and 1.25-inch 32-millimeters hexes. So on the other side, Federation Commander scale, the panels are separate, not hinged, so you can build your own battle space leapfrog ahead of the running battle. Six of these panels are in Federation Commander Klingon border, and two planets are in the Federation border Klingon attack. So you get eight panels. So, and I said there's some beautiful art, so it definitely would be worth the $85 for said product. Now, quick, when it comes to SMB Online tournaments, nothing going yet. We have not had 17 open up yet. I will tell you as soon as it does. On to the All Library report. Got some more updates for miscellaneous ships here and there for the Conavons. Actually, I had to fix two of the entries, which was my mistake. I fixed them. Also, there were I think one or two ships that actually had to be corrected and have been uploaded this week. And when it comes to Federation Commander Library, no updates there. So with that, that is news for this week. And it's me, the one and only Paul Ryan's, welcoming you, Star Believers, on call. And tonight, we just got Doug and, of course, me. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
Yay! He's here. Whoops.
Yay. You get the whole package there.
Hello?
Hello? Oh, thank you, hon.
Okay. Sorry. I thought I heard an echo in the actual recording, which would be bad. No. But anyway,
no,
tonight
that was Erica coming in here for a minute.
Tell her I say hi.
Paul says hi. She's gone. But
okay, that's fine. But anyway, we're gonna continue our adventure of monsters in SFB.
Monsters.
Yep. I think some people are tired of it. That's why it's just you and me, Doug.
That's okay.
But this one's kind of interesting. I'm not sure if this was actually included in the tournament rule book. I'm pretty sure it's not. It would make sense that it would be, but I have not checked the latest edition of the tournament module, because it might have been added then, which is the scenario called the Orb.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
I didn't check the date on it. It was Captain's Log 21.
Yeah.
When was that?
Oh,
that
was a while. Man. Long ago and far away. Because the last one that was released was Cab's Law number 54.
Yeah.
So it means Cab's Law 21 was probably, 90s? That's the only thing I can think of. But anyway, with the Orb, it basically, you're supposed to take a tournament cruiser and fight it out against the Orb. It's a solo scenario. So that's why, especially when you mentioned a tournament cruiser, I could easily see this added to the tournament module. And the latest tournament module, if I recall correctly, is 2012.
You mean the tournament tactics?
Yep. No, the tournament module. It has the tournament rules, all the ships, and all that.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I think the last one is 2012. And I can easily see this one being added. Now, I have not checked if it was added, but I can ever easily see that this would have been added.
I don't remember it from there.
On me neither. Because I really was interested in the miscellaneous scenarios that were added to the tournament rulebook. I forget if that, if that was the one that, if it had the, oh, was it Black Hole Mania, I think it was? Yeah. I forget if that was in the tournament manual or not. I know I played Black Hole Mania, which was a lot of fun. It was really weird because the way we set it up, we had two maps going this way, the length way, you know, right across from each other. So one big long map. And then we set another map, which was teed to that map. So it made things quite interesting. Oh, there's Suki. But anyway, the idea is the door is going to test you to see if you're worthy to be captured by the master and play in their tournaments.
Well, actually, they capture you.
They do capture.
And it's just, how are they going to use you?
True. Actually, the funny part is the victor conditions, which is the masters are testing your ship and the crew to determine your place in the games. The masters value life and loyalty and will be very disappointed if you allow any damage to your shield and kill some of your crew. Victory or failure is determined at the end of the 8th turn as follows. You know, this is, you know, Stanley Victory, which is, you know, destroy the orb and have no internal. Size of Victory is destroy the orb, but your ship receives internal damage, and therefore life has been lost. Tactical, you score at least 200 damage on the orb without taking any internals. Repair damage does not count. And a marginal victory is you score 200 damage of the orb and take internals. Any other result, the matters have little respect for your ship and crew, and you're placed in the most horrifying situations that you're able to gain their respect. The victory level is lowered by 1 if your ship is crippled.
Ooh. Yeah.
That means you really got beat the crap out of. But anyway,
They say you suck.
Yeah. Get you. The orb is actually originally read the movement and then it didn't make sense until I read the important thing, which is right here. The orb always moves at speed 16 hexes per turn. What are you doing? No, sorry. My cat is trying to attack the cable for my headphones. So, no. After you figure that out, the rest makes sense. Because basically, what you do is it's an automated movement, and you roll 1 die for direction and 2 die for the distance. So, and the orb doesn't side slip at all. So you move that the distance in that direction at speed 16. So until I realized that the orb was moving at speed 16, it made no sense. But after that, it's actually kind of interesting in that it's random, but it will keep. It'll modify its where it's going based on you know these random dies, but it'll do it. It can move multiple times during the turn. The one thing that does happen though, if you roll, like let's say you roll direction 2, and you go for 5 hex Yeah, bump, 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 you know. So that's like 10 impulses. And then you roll a 5. Yeah, 5. Which is exactly opposite. Then the orb goes into seeking mode. And it will go seeking your ship for the rest of the turn. Which is, in my mind, a little bit interesting that you go in this special move. Which, you know...
He's running away easily.
Right.
Gives it a 1 in 6 chance of going right after your boat on any roll.
Well, yeah, it's... Yeah, when it comes to movement, yes.
And then... Second or subsequent roll for movement, yeah.
The weapons are actually quite simple. You got range A weapon, as in, it says like, consider one weapon, but they're actually like multiple weapons. And you have a range 4 weapon, and then you have a special weapon and 2 Gatlings. The ranging weapon obviously fires at range 8. Range 4 weapon fires at range 4. And this special weapon occurs at the beginning of the turn. There's 4 different roles for the special weapon. Mind scatter, 4 type Fs, 5 no special weapons, so it skips. Or 6, random displacement. That's kind of weird, actually, if you think about it. Because if you've ever played the Andromedan DizDev, if you roll a 6, it's a random displacement. So, seems overall, it is kind of goofy. Because it matches that.
Well, here's the thing on the random displacement is that could actually really hose you over. Because, you know, if you're trying to keep it mostly down, shield away from it, and it pops to the other side of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you go.
And actually, and the displacement is pretty simple. It's you roll a die, and that defines the direction. And then you go 6 hexes in that direction. I'm assuming that if it just tries to displace itself off the map, that it stops at the wall. Because I think I'm pretty sure that's the way it works when it comes to the tournament. The orb has MCIDs, but big surprise, the MCIDs will not activate against its own drones. It is affected by the web. The orb may be displaced or placed in statuses. I gotta think about the statuses. There's no way to get his stasis because you don't have that weapon available unless someone tries a variant.
Yeah, it's like, come on, guys. What the heck?
Yep. I gotta love this one. The orb sees through the cloaking device, is immune to electronic warfare, cannot be tracked, transported, boarded, or damaged by anti-drones, and has no critical hits. Obviously, some of those are for variations.
Oh yeah, if you play with those extra rules.
Right. If you don't play with a tournament ship, what is it? Oh, is it D7A? I think it is. The one D7 that has a statistical generator in the front of the ship in place of the 3 phaser ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a.
So, because yeah, that's the only one I can think of using it as a variant that would be kind of equivalent to a tournament cruiser.
Well, there are some like variable scenario things you can throw into it too. So
mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily have to be tournament ships.
Right. That's what it says for variation. Substitute a non-tournament cruiser or a small ship for the tournament cruiser. The Orb is extremely difficult to fit up. Any ship smaller than a war cruiser. Because you have to inflict 250 points of damage against the Orb to kill it.
Within 8 turns.
Within 8 turns, yes.
So it's like, yeah, if you had all day to do it, you could just kite this sucker pretty easily. But you don't have all day. You have 8 turns.
Right, exactly. But as mentioned here, the Lord with an extended victory in a small ship would surely be known within the realm of the Masters as a legend. I.e., yeah. Try it.
Sure, why not? Go for it.
Wow. It was another variant that says, play a scenario in terrain, possibly using one of the terrain maps in Module B. The Orb is difficult to defeat in most terrains. And I can imagine that. I was thinking about an asteroid field.
You can play asteroids with it. Are you supposed to make little noises too?
Me?
If you play it in the asteroid field.
Oh. Oh.
You're welcome.
For those of you old enough to know the actual game, Asteroids will understand the reference. Russ, no, I've not seen Chris in a while. Yeah, I agree there that both Russ and Chris disappear at the same time. Yeah, Dave, he remembers the game Asteroids, the video game. Pew, 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 pew.
Absolutely.
Okay. Tactics is a saying. Make sure your ship has good anti-roam defenses enough to stop 4 Type 4 fast drones and still deliver decent range 8 alpha strike. You must arm and fire your ship's weapon as quickly as possible while maintaining a respectable CC around 15+. 2 turn army weapons will get 4 shots. True. 3 turn wire weapons, 3 shots. Yeah. It took me a moment. And you will need them all. You can afford to slow down for overloads as long as you're safe distance from the Orb. Always have a wall weasel ready. Big surprise. Though if the Orb gets lucky, it can fire a Type R and 4 Type 1F drones in a single turn. To prevent... In theory, it could fire 2 Type Rs because you use the range 8 weapon chart for the range 4 weapon. So in theory, it could actually launch 2 Type Rs and 4 Type 1F drones. In which case, if you get that close, you're dead. The shield of penetration will need to take hits on nearly all your shield and probably repair the first shield damage so you can take another volley. In playtesting, I usually ended up with 5 shields almost completely down, plasma ships will want to make sure that all their torpedoes are hit on the same turn because of the Gatlings. The orb almost never... the orb almost forces a Klingon saber dance tactics never, ever get hit by the Gatlings, which requires you basically to get to range one, if I recall correctly. Has eight shots. All you said, the ship or any plasma torpedo targeted on the orb that is within one hex. If range one is skipped, the Gatlings will take the range shot at one hex before any other event takes place, such as the impact of the plasma torpedoes. This weapon will fire at the first legal target. The ship takes precedence over the plasma torpedo, i.e., do not get within range one of the orb.
Is that bad? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Had to check Discord because
I...
I kind of like the scenario. It's something new and interesting, and for those people that you at the very least want to practice flying the ship, you know, if they're going to play in the tournament, just want to practice flying the ship against a live target that actually can hurt you, it will give you a chance to test your skills and test your understanding of the weapons.
But it also gives you a testing under a time pressure too.
Yep.
So it's actually a really good idea for getting ready to play tournaments a little bit. Mm-hmm. Tournament ships. If you have no opponent and you don't want to play both sides. So,
yeah. Understood on that.
Yeah.
And actually, the great
thing, that would be a nice little workup for somebody who's never played tournament stuff.
Mm-hmm. And
because it gives you two important things. One is working under time pressure. Even though you don't have a clock, you still have a clock. You know, you don't have like a 3-hour time limit that can take you however long, but you're still limited in the number of turns you get to play. So it's really like try to get the kill in before a certain amount of time, basically.
Oh, agreed. The one thing that I really liked about this monster is that it could be easily automated and put into like the client so that people could play basically solo scenarios. I mean, test out the client, get used to it, and possibly learn a little more about playing SFB itself. So,
yeah, it's kind of the SFU equivalent of a training dummy, target dummy.
Yeah, they're actually, when it comes to the training manual, there is actually a robot player.
This robot player makes you react to unexpected crap. Like, yeah.
Agreed.
You don't know if you're going to be facing two photons or a type R.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to be getting missed by something or wrecked by a phaser 4. Because phaser 4s don't care. And they are nasty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're a little more effective than TR beams. A little bit. When it comes to the range 8. There's something I wanted to say, and I forget what I was going to say.
No idea.
Me neither.
Did it have to do with the monster?
Yeah. Oh well, doesn't matter.
Okay, so moving on. It has a nice little interesting lore background. It's kind of like terrifying in its own way.
Oh, agree. Agree.
One pilot lived to tell the tale. Got away somehow. Everybody else is just kind of hosed because if you got the orb scenario going, you're basically removed from the universe, so to speak. You and your crew are not going home.
Oh, okay. Where is this? Cabin's log number 20. Okay. I think I remember this. Maybe not. This from Cabin's log number 20. It's called the monster. Sorry, the scenario is called the choice. A choice is a monsters, and it's a deflate combat. And there is a monster involved. And this is the scenario depicted in the story that was written up for Cabin's Log number 20. Okay, it said the scenario depicted in the cover and the three fiction scenarios included in the edition of the Cabin's Log. I don't remember reading all three of those. But I was reading the quote unquote monster, and it's mentioning okay, it's called the Black Hole Asteroid Gun. The BHAG was the Federation's secret weapon that went horribly wrong. The Federation science lost control of the weapon, which began throwing asteroid debris in various directions, including through subspace for long distances. The scientists had created a small black hole, too small to affect ship human as the core of the weapon. Ooh. The BHAG is located 2215. It doesn't move. A 7-hex cluster of asteroids in the center of the hex of 2212 informs the BHAG's ammunition supply. But there are thousands of suitable asteroids in those 7 hexes. Far too many for the ships to remove them, and so many of the use of several hundred by the BHAG will not change the terrain nature of those hexes. The BHAG are throwing asteroids debris through the subspace at various targets within 1,500 parsecs. That's a lot of distance. The details of this process are not important. What is important is that the Federation player will lose victory levels if it takes too long to destroy the BHAG. And okay, throwing smaller. Each turn of the impulse is 14, 12, 20, and 28. The BHAG selects one that's shipped randomly. An attack in the barrage of rocks to determine the effect of the roll. Roll two dice and score many. That many damage points on the target's shield. Okay, the BHAG can attack a cloak ship, so if the War Eagle comes under attack while it's cloaked, the attack has no effect. That's interesting. Why would the cloak affect it?
It probably just doesn't see it.
Yeah, but isn't the BHAG...
It's targeting those ships.
Right.
So it doesn't target it if it's cloaked. That would be my guess.
Okay.
They just didn't bother to say it that way.
Right. BHAG has a weapon which is known as the lightning effect. Treat this as a phaser one that ignores shields. This weapon will attack each target once per turn, all on impulse A, at the current range of each ship from the BHAG. This weapon was not part of the BHAG's design, but unexpected side effect of energy used. Okay. Because another weapon known as the Red Wave. Treated as a 10-point pulsar burst. This wave emits once per turn an impulse 24. The weapon was not part of the BHAG's design, but unexpected side effect. Big surprise. And the BHAG is destroyed, receives 200 points of damage. It's immune to its own weapons.
Well, that sounds like a candidate for a whole bunch of overloaded photons. So,
yeah.
And a whole bunch of phaser ones all in one shot. I can kind of see why they want to kill it real quick.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
What's that?
The artifact entity monster. So we have a monster in this one also. Not just the BHAG. The AEM begins its scenario in 2215. It moves at speed 16 per hex in direction A. It will reach the artist's colony. Wait a minute. This looks like
a different monster.
And I'm looking. I'm just wondering, let me look. Yeah, it's the same one. I'll make sure that we're talking about the same scenario here, because... Okay. Because it's mentioning here that it moves at speed 16. If it reaches Artist Colony in 12 turns...
They laid out three different monsters.
Yeah.
Three different sets of victory conditions instead of treating them all separately.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. It's kind of a bad layout compared to the rest of them.
Agreed.
Different.
Right, and then you got the Space Lens. Monster native to the Andromeda Galaxy has followed the Andromedans to the Milky Way. Ooh. The Andromedans tried to ignore it, leaving it to rampage the galactic's areas at will. Although it will hunt Andromedans if it detects them, in the case of this scenario, the monster has not found any Andromedans. It's content with destroying the galactics. Right. You know, displays to the hexes and the randomly determined direction, an A impulse, which received 25 or more damage points. And the Space Lens has a tractor field with a range of 12 hexes. It grabs any limited number of ships. Note that the two scouts are already in the field. This tractor field cannot be broken and will rotate the ships closer one hex per turn. The Space Lens has movement cost of infinity. Movement of tractor ship will not move the Space Lens, movement away from the space lens is ignored. These tractors are released if the space lens displaces. So if you get tractored, what you need to do is beat on the space lens so that it will displace. Okay. 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 Right. So basically, what this actually is, there are three scenarios with the same setup. Either it's the BHAG, it's the or artifact monster, anything monster, or it's the space lens. The space lens has an energy probe which will attack any ship that comes within tax hexes. It will attack each ship no more than once each turn, either on impulse one or first time that the particular ship comes within range during that turn. When this weapon attacks the ship receives 6 points of random internal damage by the DAC and loses one crew unit. Note that this crew unit loss, in addition to any loss by normal damage, and if the ship were hit by any proposed weapon two times and by other weapons, it would suffer the loss of three crew units. Well, the space limb is defeated as follows and must first gain 200 points of information. Once this is done, the ship will learn how to launch more effective attacks. And after the finishing game, the ship scores 200 more points of damage in any pick of 32 consecutive impulses. The space lens will decide to leave the ship alone and displaces beyond sensor rays. It can do this, Andromeda ships cannot. Really? Some special rules apply to some of the ships at the start of the scenario. I'm reading that and going, you definitely need more one ship to make sure that it gets 200 points or more of damage. But of course, first thing you have to do is gain 200 points of information. So it's not an easy task. Personally, like the BHAG for her. That's a neat scenario. The space lens weird. Okay, well, I think we'll talk to them next week. Anyway, okay. That's but anyway, there was a couple of interesting monsters. Obviously, I think the orb is the neatest of all the ones. Sorry.
It made for a nice cover.
I was looking at this scenario little picture, and I think I remember the cover. Actually, here, because I should. Warehouse 23. Ba-ba. Almost there. Unfortunately, these are not in sorted order. The warehouse 23. Got 21. See 21. See 19. Haven't seen 20 quite yet. Oh, there it is. Here. Well, that's definitely a cool one. Let me bring that up for folks so they can see it. And you'll see kind of mind's eye kind of thing, behind this storm, and you actually see an eye right there.
I think you might have hit a button, because your showing is offline. On the SFU on call on Twitch.
That's weird.
And somebody asked if the stream froze.
Well, that's weird. I say that because I see the chat, the stream still being updated. I still don't see any updates to the chat room.
I don't see a, I don't have a running stream. And I'm connected because, hey, we're talking.
Oh, I understood. Okay. Let's try this for giggles. Bring up Twitch again. And there. Okay. I'm in the chat room now. And I can see the stream. And go hello. Send. Okay. And let me just check here. This is fine here. So, okay. Not sure where you saw that.
Well, I have SFU on call. Hold up.
You mean the Discord server?
No.
No.
In the chat room, somebody asked if the stream froze.
Okay.
And it shows your background picture, and it has offline up in the top right.
Okay. Excuse me. Can you not?
I'll refresh it.
Yeah, refresh. Because I can see in the stream is streaming.
Oh, there you are. You're live. Now it says you're live. Yep.
Okay. I said hello, and Dave said hello. I don't see anything else saying hi, where is he, or anything like that.
Yeah, you're back.
Okay. Which was showing cabin's log number 20, the actual front of it. That's one thing I get to do, which is actually collect all the captain's logs in ebook form.
Oh, good lord.
Because that's one thing I like to do, because I want to replace all the captain's logs that I did have. Because at one point, I did have them all. Well, I didn't. Not quite all. I didn't have, like, Cabin's Log number one before I gave it up. You know, I gave them away, because I gave them away for plain and simple reason that I wanted to get rid of some stuff, because I had enough stuff around here. So I was trimming down. That's why I got quite a bit of my stuff. I gave some stuff to my local game store so they can use for the game nights. So I don't have nearly as much stuff that I used to. I kept the main SFBE rules, you know, things like that. Star Armada, Fakecom. What else? I don't have F&E, because I was never interested in playing that. I have the original ACTA SF hard copy, you know, the hard rule book that they had for that when they first sold it. I do have a couple of the Starfire books. But those were the few things that I really wanted to keep. The rest of my games collection, I pretty much gave up. I still have some of them, but that was mainly because my youngest wanted them. So it's like, okay, fine, you know. I let her go through all the games and tell me, you know, okay, I want this one, then want this one, this one. Because that's, as I've said multiple times on this podcast, that's the one thing that gives me hope when it comes to later generation, later than me, still being interested in playing board games. The games like what you play at Gamers. What the heck? Okay. Sorry, I keep on hearing the bleep, bleep, bleep from...
Yeah, what is that?
I don't know. It's from my Discord server. Just don't know why it's bleeping. Oh, me neither. That's the weird part.
That's the only thing I could think of, would be somebody popping in and out.
Mm-hmm. Same here. For those of you in the audience and didn't notice this, Dave was just mentioning the picture that was used on the front of Capitol's Log number 20. Is actually a real space lens. It's a nebula. I'm assuming that that picture was modified to add the actual eye, because I don't think there's actually an eye in space. I know there's one that's supposed to look kind of like the, like an eye.
Yeah, there is a cat's eye nebula. There actually is one. Looks like that.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Space is weird and large and full of stuff. Full of weird stuff that is large.
So, yep. There you go. Agreed. Actually, that was one thing was good to hear about. Actually, think about it. It's just incredible. which is, of course, Voyager 1. And how far it's out there. It's still working. You know? They even got... It broke because part of the memory of Voyager 1 basically went bad. Big surprise. But they were able to move around things to get around that one bad memory unit and have it so they could load up the programs that they need to run and communicate and got it working again, which to me is just incredible.
Oh, it's amazing. I sit in awe of that whole thing.
Yeah. To me, I sit in awe that it's still working all this time, you know?
It absolutely is, like, lived way past their expected date. And that's just really a testimony to how well they built the thing.
Mm-hmm. So. I completely agree. Actually, that was one thing. I happened to be watching this one YouTube video, which was Hamfest from East... Stroudsburg, and they were just showing the different products that people were selling and so forth. It gave a sense of what you could, if you came, what you would see, which was good. To me, the thing that really fascinated me was all of the tubes that people were selling, and some of the old electronics that used tubes, you know, the amplifiers and probably some other tuners and so forth that use tubes to run. Which, of course, in this day and age is fascinating because we have all these transistors, which are like a little chip. You know, it's instead of using these old tubes. Dave was just mentioning that they used that picture, you know, the eye, in Star Trek Voyager series in the astrometrics lab.
Nice.
That's just weird. Whatevs. For those of you listening on the recorded, or maybe listen live, hearing the bleeps, I have no clue.
All I know is I'm not it.
I know you're not it. It might be, there actually is, I see another on my Discord server, there's another one which is showing somebody on the Daily Tech News Show's server. That I don't think I would be hearing their bips and blips, you know. Where are you coming from?
No idea.
Where are you coming from? Okay, I give up. Okay, sorry, I got distracted by that. Anyway. I think I'll wrap up with that tonight. Hopefully we'll have after we'll continue on the monsters topic, but also I'd like to include something else. I'll figure out some another topic, which is, you know, more interesting, because some of these monsters are not as interesting really to discuss. I can tell that. But anyway, but we'll come up with another even better topic for next week. Doug, it's always a pleasure to have you around. You have a good night.
Thank you for having me here.
Anything you want to remind people of?
Yeah, Gamers of Winter needs a Starfleet battle schedule. Hint.
Okay.
Or Gamers of Summer.
That's
we'll get. But yeah, how about giving me a schedule for that so I can add okay. it to the event page?
Yeah, I gotta put myself on a reminder for that. I keep forgetting. I keep on telling you, oh, I'll do it this weekend. I'll do it this weekend. I'll do it this weekend. I don't do it.
Nah. So, yes, Gamers of Summer, a Labor Day weekend. Since if you're not going to the Big Bang Blowout thing, which has been canceled, come on out to our thing. What the heck?
Yep.
Contact
come on down.
Us. Tell us what you want to run or play. I mean, Paul's going to set up some things. If you were going to go to the other thing and you're listening to this, and now you can't go to that because it's canceled, Labor Day weekend, we'll be there for, I'll be there for 3 days. He'll be there, Paul will be there for two.
Yep.
So.
And we'll have plenty of tables available for me to play.
Yeah, it's a nice space.
Yep.
It's a very nice space. We've had nice space, like, the entire time we've run the convention for the last, what, 15 years or so?
Yep.
16 years now.
Oh, agreed.
And
a lot of these, when we get into the hotels, the conference rooms are really nice. They have lots of tables to play lots of different games on them. It's really nice.
Well, of all the places we've been to, over the decade and a half, this is like I think the one that has the most, because if we really needed to, they have another conference room across the hall from us that's about close to the same size.
Yep.
And yeah, we could double our space for all practical mm-hmm. intents and purposes. If we
and the great thing
I mean, this
about
place is nice.
Yeah, and the great thing about this place. Is you've got Chick-fil-A, which is like a block down the way. You've got all kinds of different other restaurants from, if you want to go to Subway, you got some other actually sit down and eat in restaurants across the way. You know, that it's really a lot of good space. Also, you know, if there's some hotels close by too.
Well, that plus it's in a hotel. The only problem is you might have a hard time booking it because they have that other big event that goes through almost every weekend. So, yeah, they have like a bus tour group thing that's mm-hmm. a regular thing for that hotel. And doesn't mean that they won't have rooms available. It just means that it's less likely and you're not going to get a discount because they're very often close to their capacity. So, but yeah, if you can't get a room at the hotel that we're using, there's plenty of hotels nearby if you're coming in from out of town or not staying with somebody. And it's a nice central location for the East Coast. I mean, if you are coming up from Northern Virginia, Baltimore, Washington, or Philly, New Jersey, we're just a few hours away from both of those places. We're like maybe 4 hours from New York, you know, depending on traffic. So, it's literally closer for the majority of people living on the East Coast than it would be to go to Origins. But
oh, agreed.
So there's that. It's a nice place, and it's a nice geographic location. And I think it's one of the best places we've had over the decades. It would be nice to see a bunch of STEP people come out for it. And it's literally the sort of place that People that used to go out to, or if they still do, I don't know if they do or not, went out to Origins for Federation and Empire. It's a good setup for that.
Oh yeah, agreed.
So there we are. That's kind of all I have. I mean, we tend to have something scheduled for the Starfleet universe, and if somebody wants to have a very specific thing and they want to commit to coming out for it, we can dedicate some space for it. So there you go.
Agreed, agreed. And of course, I'll be there. So if you want to play, or I'll be hopping to enjoy in that. So you always know you have an SFB player right there to play. So come on out.
We actually have a few people that have played SFB in the past, but usually end up doing other stuff at the event. So there it is.
True. True.
That's about all I got. I mean, if you want to come out sometime in the very near future, and I was thinking it would be interesting if you wanted to come out and test the setup here, so you can see off my machines how that's going, and I could test my setup. I was thinking about grabbing the one camera and seeing if the new setup with Windows 10 there will work. If I could actually run a Twitch stream with it. Get, stream sniped in Eve or WoW or something.
Right.
But also to see if the frame rate isn't just horribly destroyed by doing it. So, there's that.
Right.
It would be nice to have some input and feedback on that, because I was thinking about doing something similar though different, not quite the same thing, but like a discussion time while doing other stuff. So you could watch me die horribly in WoW,
What's new?
or we could actually team up on something in Eve, because you got your alpha account, I got my alpha account, and hey, we both have a corp there that you're in, and I'm in, and we could go like do something there, just on the free-to-play aspect. So there's a random thought for you.
Yep.
And we could talk about SFB and whatever else while we're doing it.
Agreed.
So,
Agreed. Okay.
that could be a nice, like, once a week kind of thing, too.
That's what you didn't see.
Yeah, and if you wanted to review the thing I've been working on, that's fine, too. I mean, if you want to sit down and take a look at it, yay!
Okay.
I could use the company
Understood.
that is not 9 years old or 7 years old.
Our furry.
Yeah. And then there's the cat.
Right.
So,
Sure.
yeah. Okay. That's all I got for right now.
Okay. You have a good night.
Thank you.
So, we went through another couple monsters. No, the orb is not quite a monster. It's more like a testing tool. Yeah, whatever. But anyway, yeah, I understand some of these monsters have been a little boring. But I thank you for trudging on through, being with us through these maybe not so exciting adventures. But I promise. Next week will be better. So, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.